This podcast is part of the Shareable Podcast Network. Learn more at shareable.fm. You are now listening to the Heroic Council.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Heroic Council. I am Sarah O'Hannison. I am your host today, and I'm really excited for this conversation. I am joined by my fellow council member, Parshal Tashi, and Katie Wusso, who is a business coach for creative entrepreneurs. And Katie specializes in helping business owners develop actionable business plans so they can make a living doing what they love. And I love this. I love this intro. Okay, so Katie, I gave a very quick overview there. Is there anything else before we really get into this conversation of a business plan that people should know about you? And maybe you can add your own little quick intro.
I appreciate the introduction. Like you said, I'm a business coach for creative entrepreneurs. I also have, I'm married to my husband. We've been married for 14 years. I have two kids. We live in Washington, D.C., but we are Texans at heart. We're Texpats, as I like to say. And I'm really passionate about helping people. You know, there's so many people out there that have so much talent, so many creative skills that can be of benefit to their clients and really to the community at large. I'm really passionate about helping people build up the business that they need to support them using that craft, whether it's design, whether it's, I work with fine artists, I work with writers, I work with interior designers, whatever the craft is, I want to help them have the business supporting them so that they can, like I said, make a living doing what they're passionate about, doing what they're great at. That's a little bit about me. I've been doing this for about, I'm coming up on 5 years. I'm not quite at 5 years yet. And before that, I have a corporate background. I was in corporate consulting and had the pleasure of working for my own clients since about 2017.
Awesome. That's really cool. And Parshal and I are both creative people. So you're speaking to the right people today, for sure.
Exactly. And I'm curious why creatives in terms of, you know, that special direction in your consulting and what you do.
So I like a lot of people do in their business, I stumbled into it a little bit. When I started my business back in 2017, I knew I wanted to work with smaller organizations. I had, in my corporate background, I worked with municipally owned utilities. So those are like fairly large organizations, not particularly innovative. You know, we don't really necessarily innovate very much on how we deliver water to people's houses and how we pick up trash, at least from a business standpoint. And so I knew I wanted to do something with smaller organizations. I wasn't totally sure what industry I'd be focusing on. And it just so happened that when I started telling people that I wanted to help people with their businesses, I was a business coach, I have a finance degree, I'm good with the business side of running a business. It was creative people that were the first people to raise their hand and say, I need that. I need help with that. And so probably at least 80 to 90% of my clients, my first year in business, were all kind of self-selecting. That's not the word. Mm-hmm. They identified as creatives. Yes. And so it was just sort of something that I said, there's a need here for what I do. My personality really jives with this clientele. And so I'm just going to go with it.
Awesome. It's awesome. So a lot of people, and I'm sure when you're dealing with creatives specifically, right? Like a lot of people don't struggle with dreaming big. They can cast that big vision. They know where they want to go in their business, but they don't actually have a plan to get here. So why do people struggle with this so much?
I think that there's people that struggle with this from both sides, because I would say most of my clients, creative type people, they have no issue dreaming the big dream. They know exactly where they want to be 10 years from now. They can see it in their head. Maybe they've sketched it out, but they really struggle to translate that to what am I supposed to do today? But then there's also people on the other side of the spectrum that I don't want to ignore them either, where they're so mired in today and the tasks and the to-do lists and what am I going to post and what are the emails that I need to respond to. They're so in it that they don't even know how what they're doing today is connected to anything beyond this week. And so they struggle to take a step back and say, where am I going? Where do I want this business to go? And how are all of these nitty gritty tasks that I'm doing getting me there? And so there's two different ways that people struggle with this. And I think there's a lot of reasons why people struggle with this, really not having a solid plan for where they're going and what they're doing. And in my definition, a plan is simply a definition of success and a clearly identified path to get there. It's just that simple. It's what does success look like and how am I going to get there? And I think one of the biggest reasons why people struggle with this is because they never had to do it before. If you're coming from a traditional job, or if you were a student, whatever you have done in your background leading up to owning your own business or some sort of entrepreneurial endeavor, you've probably never been in the position of having to decide what the direction is of where you're going and how you're going to get there. You probably were in a job where your boss said, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing right now. This is where this organization is headed. And here is your task list to contribute to that. But we've never sat in the boss chair to decide not just what are the tasks that I'm doing, but what is the bigger picture plan of where we're going and how I'm going to get there. And so a lot of people, they tell me over and over, I have no problem with the to-do list. I'm really productive. I have no problem crossing things off the list. I just really struggle to know what I should be doing. I don't know what I should be doing and then what are the types of things that should go on my list in the first place. And so I think it's really just, we don't have a lot of practice exercising the muscle of deciding where we're going. And then also figuring out what are the most strategic things that are going to get me to that the fastest. We haven't really been taught to do that. And we don't have a lot of practice with it.
It's super powerful what you're saying. And it's so true if you haven't done it. Also, I think as an entrepreneur, it's often hard to know which path to take, right? There's so many things that we could be working on. How do we know that that's the right path? And those are the right tasks to be working on. And in some sense, we want someone to tell us, you're doing the right thing here. Parshal and I had this conversation last week. So I think it's really important to be able to do this. I know you help clients with 90-day business plans specifically. Why the 90 days? What's significant about 90 days and why is that the amount of time that you recommend for people?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I recommend 90-day planning as the starting point if you've never done anything like this before. Because ultimately, every single business, if you read, there's like 1,000 books on business plans and most of them have a lot of overlap. And most of them agree that you need some sort of like long-term 10-year plan, and you need some sort of medium-term 1 to 3 year plan. It just depends on the framework that you're using. But I think for people that have never done this type of big picture thinking before, jumping straight into a 10-year or a 5-year or a 3-year or even a 1-year plan is really challenging. And so I think 90-day planning is a really good starting point for people that want to learn how to do this. They want to learn how to figure out what their most important priority is right now. They want to learn how to set an outcome-oriented goal and practice taking those action steps to get there. But also, even if you are accustomed to this and you do know how to do that bigger picture planning, 90-day cycles are pretty good cycles to help you have a reset along the way. Say if you set 1 year goals, for example, pretty much about every 90 days, you're going to need to take a step back, reset, make sure you're staying focused on the right things, adjust your goals, refresh what you're doing, and then jump back right into your long-term plan. So it just is, it's not perfect and it's not scientific, but it tends to be a really good frame of time for people that are working within bigger picture plans or that are like, I've never done this before, but I need to start.
It makes a lot of sense. And obviously in the time that we've just been through, 2020, 2021, I mean, if you had a 5-year plan, there's a good chance it went out the window. So I think it's important to think about, you know, that long-term mirrored with that shorter term.
Yes, because planning, no matter whether or not you're dealing with a pandemic, and the pandemic brought this to the forefront, but planning is not a one-time thing. Planning is an ongoing process that builds on itself. And so I think that's one of the reasons why people don't do any sort of planning in their business, is because they have that misconception that everything changes anyway. So why would I spend my valuable time and energy making this plan when, like, the second week of the plan, it's all going to go out the window? And that's a really honest and valid concern. But I think when you can accept that planning is more of an art than a science, and is really more of a process than a specific deliverable, then you can be more successful with it.
That's gold. Wow. I hope everybody listening, like, go back, listen to that part again. That is gold right there. That's really good.
It's true, because it's more about the journey versus the destination. And that's where the good stuff is, because like what you're saying, planning is tough, especially when things can change or the unexpected can happen. But it's really about, like I said, setting up that art, not being so about it, but mm-hmm. allowing it to flow. That's really powerful.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, when I teach people to plan, I think one thing that's really important is I help people plan based on the outcomes that they want to achieve, not necessarily the stuff that they want to do. Because when most people plan, what they do is they sit down and they make a big list of, here's all the projects that I want to do, here's all the tasks that are on my list, without thinking through first, what's the most important thing that I actually want to accomplish? What is the outcome that I want to create? Maybe it's making a certain amount of money, or achieving a certain feature or collaboration, or being a better leader, having better work-life balance, whatever it is. And then the projects and the tasks that go on your list are flexible. We don't change the outcome that we want, but you have all the flexibility in the world to try out different projects and tasks that you think are going to get you to that outcome. And the reason why I bring this up at all is because it helps you feel a little bit less crushed when your projects and your tasks don't go the way you want to, because the projects and the tasks are flexible. The outcome, we want to stay true to pursuing that outcome no matter what, because that we've determined that outcome is important. But how we get there, we have a ton of flexibility. So I think this really helps build resiliency in entrepreneurs. If they're like, well, I tried this thing over here and that didn't really work, but then I tried this thing over here and that really helped me to hit my revenue goal for the quarter, or whatever it is. So I think it's important to become more committed to the outcomes that we want to achieve and more open-handed with the tasks and the projects.
That's really smart. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're kind of hinting at it here, but, you know, maybe you can explain for people, what is the main difference between a to-do list and a plan? Because I would imagine, you're kind of hinted at that before, a lot of people get confused about that. I'm hitting all these tasks, but are they contributing to a greater good? So in your mind, what's the difference between a to-do list and a plan?
So most people run their lives, first of all, but also their businesses off of these lists. They have, here's the content that I want to create. Here are the clients that I'm working with right now. Here are the tasks that I need to do. Here's the admin stuff that needs to happen. And so they think that is a plan. They think that is a plan, but really all it is just a disjointed list of stuff. What needs to happen in order for it to be a plan is those tasks and projects need to be anchored in a bigger picture understanding of where you're going and how you think you're going to get there. So a business plan defines the outcomes that you want to achieve so that you can be smart and strategic about choosing the right tasks and projects to work on. And I really like to think about the analogy of, I'm a huge Trader Joe's fan. I pretty much shop only at Trader Joe's. We have one right by my house. I'm there like four times a week. I love Trader Joe's. But Trader Joe's, especially right now, is full of all the pumpkin things, the pumpkin granola and the pumpkin chocolates and the pumpkin cookies and there's pumpkin ice cream now. And they are really good at giving you the extras. And so you can walk out of Trader Joe's with a completely full cart, put your groceries in your car, drive home, take groceries out of the car and into your kitchen, and then realize, like, I can't make spaghetti. I cannot feed my family this week because I focused on all of the extras, but it, and I bought a lot of stuff that looked good, but it wasn't connected to an actual plan for this is what I'm going to make for dinner on Monday. And this is what I'm going to make for dinner on Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how a lot of entrepreneurs are, is that our days are full. We're doing a lot of stuff, but it's not necessarily all coming together to get us the outcomes that we want, because we fill our carts before we decide what we're making, instead of deciding what we're making and then filling our carts. And so that's the analogy that I think helps people really understand that it's your in the same way that your meal plan determines what goes on your shopping list, your business plan determines what goes on your to-do list.
That's powerful. Wow. That's really good. Because Trader Joe's is funny because they have such wonderful things, and I have gone to Trader Joe's and gone home and go, I don't know if I have anything to actually make a complete meal here, but like, I did buy pumpkin everything. I mean, for sure.
Yeah. Like I bought this tortellini, but I have no sauce and it just looked really good. Yeah. It's me. Awesome.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I'm still cracking up with it because it's so true. Think about all the random stuff I get from Trader Joe's, like, and thinking I should make a visit. It's been a while.
Right. My husband has said to me so many times, you spent this much money at the grocery store. How do we have no food?
Right. I'm like, right.
But we do have pumpkin cookies. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what is there to complain about?
Oh, that's great. So how then can you, you know, when entrepreneurs are looking to pick one priority for their business, because that's really what you're talking about, right? Starting to hone in and pick these priorities and pick these plans and projects we're going to work on. Like, how do we pick one when we have so many things and we're wearing so many hats? Like, how do you even recommend people go about doing that?
It's a great question. It's a common question, as you might imagine. So the first misconception that I need to address is that just because you operate. So I recommend that in a 90-day period of time, you pick one priority, and that one priority is connected to one goal, an outcome-oriented goal. And then you make your task and project list from there, from that one priority and that one goal. Now, that does not mean that all of the ongoing things that are part of running a business automatically stop, right? Because I have a weekly podcast. I develop weekly content for Instagram. I have administrative tasks that need to happen. I have clients that need to be searched. There are a lot of pre-existing commitments that come along with running a business. It's not like I get to take all of those hats off. But what having a plan does is it helps you to be more intentional about creating space for your priority. So it's not that I get to stop doing everything, but it's that with my business building time, with the time that I spend doing things that are going to move my business forward, I'm focusing on one strategic priority. And so a really simple filtering question that I like to use for this, if you are like, I feel like everything is important in my business right now, I couldn't possibly pick one thing that's more important than everything else, is actually from Gary Keller's book called The One Thing. It's a really good book. It's really a book about prioritizing. But he says, what is the one thing that if this one thing was resolved in your business, it would make all of the other things that seem important less important or unnecessary completely? So for a lot of people, I think there's a lot of people that they just have this ridiculously long list of like, I want to create this lead magnet and I want to do a program on this and I want to create this offer over here and I want to do a collaboration and I need to update. So we just have all of these things that we want to do, but really what needs to happen in your business is you need to make more money. That's really what you need. And so what would it look like for you in the next quarter to focus all of your energy on figuring out ways to increase your revenue quickly? So it's really, really powerful when you cut through all of the noise that we fill our lives with and really focus on like, I have got to figure this out. And before I create any new stuff, and before I start any new programs, and before I do all of this stuff that is on my list, I'm going to focus on this thing. And what happens then, what happens when you operate that way, is that you actually start resolving the things that are problems in your business. Mm-hmm. You actually start increasing your revenue. You actually get better work-life balance. You actually streamline your services and create one or two signature offers instead of offering 20 things. And when you actually start resolving the things that are problems in your business, ironically, that is how you create the time and the space to get to all of the creative ideas that you want to do. And so it's really hard to pick one priority for a 90-day period of time. It feels like you're sacrificing all of these things that are really important to you, when in fact you're actually making it more possible for you to do all of those things later once your most important priorities have been resolved. And Jeff commented, it reminds me of Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I love Greg McKeown. I've read Essentialism. If you have not yet read Effortless, which is his second book, I highly recommend it. It is, it really builds on Essentialism really well. And it's very similar to the concepts that we're talking about today.
That's huge. I've also heard that it helps your audience. You know, when you start to focus more, your audience can actually focus, because, you know, you talk about social media. If you're on social media going, I have this, you know, kind of almost having a theme for that 90 days and letting your social media follow suit, your audience is going to go, oh, that's what she's talking about now. I understand that. And then in the next 90 days, you can really lean in with something else. So I think it helps you focus, but in a wonderful way, it helps your audience kind of hone in and understand you better.
I think that's definitely true. And there are people that I follow on social media, God love them, like, I'm still confused about what they do, because they talk about so many different things. And they're so scattered that it's very difficult to understand who they are, what they offer, how they can help me, who they even serve. And so bringing this kind of focus to your business definitely has a spillover effect.
That's awesome. And then once you've established, like, because like you're right, for a lot of businesses that are working with you, they're in a position where that number one priority is making more money. So what typically are you finding that lays out a productive, I guess, not to-do list, but, you know, the plan that follows in order to reach that?
Right. So if your 90-day goal was like, I've got to increase my revenue, I need to hit, you know, XYZ sales number. Normally, what I've found, and this isn't true of everyone, but one thing I have found is that when people aren't making the money that they need, they often assume that something is broken about what they're doing, when a lot of times nothing is actually broken about what they're doing. They just need more. It's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with your marketing. It's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with your services or your pricing. You just need more of the same. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we like sort of starting over and starting new things and doing from scratch and sort of reinventing the wheel a little bit. There's a certain amount of discipline that says, my service is fine, my pricing is fine, I need to go out and find five clients like the two that I had last month. This month I'm getting five, last month I got two. And so I think it's really about, in the case of somebody that wants to increase revenue, it's about looking at the, setting an actual number, first of all, like, what is the actual real number with a dollar sign next to it of the amount of money that you need to make? Because a lot of times people don't know. They just know what I have isn't enough, but they haven't put an actual number to what they need in order to pay themselves, their expenses and their taxes. And then defining, once you know what your number is, defining based on the products and services that you have, what are the possible paths to you getting to your number? And then if you know, and this is why I really, what I teach is very actionable. Because if I go tell you next month, you need to go make more money, that's not actionable. That's overwhelming and stressful and terrible. But if I tell you, okay, you need to make $15,000 this quarter in revenue. That means you need to go get six clients. Can you go get six clients? You'd be like, yeah, I think I probably can. And so then you can talk about what are the strategies and tactics that are going to help you get those six clients as easily and as quickly as possible. And so that's an example of how this can look for a very common priority, which is like, I've got to start making some more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what you've said is just so powerful because, and I deal with this a lot with clients as well, it's so overwhelming. And often it's overwhelming because it's fake, right? Because we haven't put the plan in place. We haven't broken it down. So people say, well, I want to write a book, or I want to make a course, or I want to start a podcast. Right. But what does it mean to do those things? Because the individual steps are not nearly as bad as writing a book. Writing a few sentences is clearly a lot easier. And I think it's amazing how people just jump forward. And that's really where that overwhelm sets in. So yeah. I know you have a freebie for people, and it's great. I actually already downloaded it myself here. And so katiewusso.com/plan for those that are following along, if you want to go ahead and get that right now. But Katie, maybe you can walk us through what are the main elements of the plan, and how can people really use this guide you've put together, because it's fantastic. And what are the different parts that we really need to be thinking about when making a plan?
Awesome. Yes. And I use my own freebie. I have it right here. It's literally always on my desk. So I'm glad you've gotten that too, because it's a tool that I use. And so I'm happy to share it with others. So a quarterly 90-day plan has a few different elements. So the first element, which is the most important, is your priority. So your priority is a simple statement of what is most important right now. And there's two parts of that, right? What's most important, not one thing that is important, but what is the most important? What's more important than anything else? And then also the right now piece. Like, what is most important, not next year, not eventually, but what is the most important thing for you right now? I think a lot of people spend a lot of energy worrying about problems that they don't have yet. So that's what we want to avoid. We want to focus on what's most important right now. And so your priority is typically like a theme. It's not specific. It's a theme. So one of my priorities for the year is to grow my audience, right? And I do planning on an annual basis and a quarterly basis. That's why I say one of my priorities for the year. But it's one of my priorities for the year to grow my audience. So that's an example of a thematic, broad priority that really guides my planning. So the second thing that you need as part of a 90-day plan is a goal. So a goal is simply the way that you are choosing to measure success for your priority. So the priority is vague and it's a theme, but the goal is specific and measurable. So for example, my 90-day goal, or my 90-day priority here, it's right here on the sheet of paper, is to grow my audience. My goal for the quarter is to pitch and successfully land 4 additional podcast interviews. Because one of the ways that I'm growing my audience is by going on, you know, sharing with other people's audiences like yourself, who I am, what I'm about, how I can help people. So a goal is a measure of success for the priority. So those are the two really important pieces that most people don't have. Most people, when they plan, they're like, this is my to-do list for the quarter. But before we ever make a to-do list, we want to know the most important priority and the main goal that is going to measure success for the next quarter of time. The next piece is to have a sales goal. I think you really should have a specific number in mind of the amount of money that you want to make. It's really important. We're business owners. This is like big kid pants time. You have to have a number of how much money you need to pay your bills. And then after you have those three things, that's when you can say, okay, what are the projects and the tasks that I can take on with the amount of time and the resources that I have in the next 90 days? If this is my priority and my goal, my sales goal, what are the things that I'm going to commit to do in order to get there? And the big mistake that most people make is most people make their goals too small and their to-do list too long. So I like to encourage people to flip that around. Your goal should be a push. It should be a little bit of a challenge. But your to-do list should be, you should be super critical before you put something on that to-do list for the quarter and really carefully consider, do I have, is this going to help me with my, my priority? Do I have the bandwidth for it? And, you know, is this something that I can really commit to do? So that, that's the basic framework, is priority, goal, sales goal, and then projects and tasks.
And I think what's cool about this is, and nothing, this is simple, right? Like, this is not an intricate, crazy, this isn't a 20-page worksheet. This is one piece of paper that Katie has simplified so clearly for us. But boy, is it hard, right? It couldn't be more simple, but it is so, so hard. And I think having this conversation, this is a podcast you can go back and listen to over and over again and follow Katie's teachings, because it's really important that we do this while it's simple. One piece of paper there.
And the reason it's hard is because it forces you to actually make decisions, right? Because a lot of, I talk to clients all the time and they're like, I had a coaching call on Friday and this girl was like, she has already financially committed to self-publish a second book. She's written one book. She wants to self-publish a second book. She's already paid the deposit on the second book. And so her publisher, her self-publishing company keeps contacting her like every week saying like, when are you going to write the book? When are you going to write the book? When are you going to write the book? But she had taken this thing on, but hadn't really considered how it fits in with everything that she's doing. I think we do so many things like this in business. We're like, I got to figure out my email marketing. And then every week you put it on your list, figure out email marketing, set up CRM. Like, you got it. You got to figure this out. You got to figure this out. You got to figure this out. But you never actually decide, I am going to do this, right? And so doing this planning process forces you to actually decide, what am I doing? But also, more importantly, what am I not doing right now? What am I saving for later? And that's often the hard part, is because we feel like if we let go of rewriting the same things on our to-do list every single week that we haven't done yet, that it feels like if I say I'm not setting up my email marketing this quarter, it might mean that I'll never do it. And that's not really what it means. It just means that you're deciding that's not the most important thing to do right now. And so you can let that go for a while and then pick it back up when it makes sense. But I think that's why it's hard for people, is because so many of us are walking around that we have this like running list of things in our head that we want to do, but we never actually decide, yes, I'm doing this, or no, I'm not. It's just sort of this backpack that we carry around in our businesses that weighs us down and adds stress, but doesn't really help us move forward.
Yeah, it's really helpful. I recommend to clients having an idea list and an action list, because especially if you're creative or if you're a high idea producer, I mean, these ideas will literally be wonderful, but drag you right down. And if, you know, you need to put them somewhere, like put them on a shelf. And right, that might mean you're never going to get to it, but then how much of a priority really is it? Or you're just saving it for later, or storing it for that time that, oh, now I am going to work on my email list. Now it's time to go read that note that I had saved about setting up my email list, but not focusing on it right now. And I'm totally with you. I think having things on the action list that are critical and that you need to do, boy, does that free you up to just work on those things until completion. So that really aligns with what I teach people too. I just love that.
Yeah, definitely. As you know, somebody that specializes in productivity, I'm sure you see a lot of people that they're collecting these things but never moving on them, and it really hinders productivity.
I mean, it really requires focus. That's one of the things you talked about before, and that's, you know, that's a character trait that, you know, just gets hopefully stronger and stronger for people who are not only entrepreneurs but creative. Like for myself, I tend to have to kind of watch the ideas, because I can go and and just, you know, create another project that I really don't need to take on. It's just something that comes up. And so there is a level of focus that comes in just to kind of help to distinguish between what's important and what's not. So how do you recommend that people stay focused on their goals as well?
That's a really good question. So I think it's first of all really important to know yourself and know your personality and how you really thrive and how you are, what helps you to be at your best and your most effective. So I am a naturally pretty focused person. I have a lot of structure in my business and a lot of structure in my life, but not everybody is like that. So I encourage my clients, even if they're, I think everybody that has their own business should follow a plan, but I encourage my clients that really do have that drive to create, to make sure that they're giving themselves the space to maybe just like one day a week, just chase a rabbit. You know, one day a week, if you really are passionate about something, an idea came into your head and you have to go do it, just go do it and give yourself that freedom to deviate from your plan as much as you think you need to in order to ultimately stay on the plan, right? Because if I tell a creative person, like, this is your task list for the quarter and you can't do anything else, that's not really realistic. And so you have to know how much freedom you require and flexibility and unstructured time that you need in order to have structure, which is a little bit counterintuitive. But the other thing that is just very practical, and one of the reasons I created this one page sheet, is just to continually look at your plan. You know, every morning or even once a week, remind yourself, what's my priority? What are the major projects I'm working on this quarter? And just to reconnect with that, because I will confess, I have done the Strengths Finder. One of my five top strengths is focus. I am very focused on what I'm doing. Last week, I did not feel focused. I felt like I was all over the place. I had my hands in 50 different things. And then at the end of the week, I looked at my 90-day plan and I was like, oh, even in the midst of really feeling scattered, I kind of made some progress on these things that I'm working on. And so reconnecting with that plan every single week at a minimum, ideally every day, will help you not only to remember, oh yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be working on, but also to recognize you are making progress even sometimes in the day-to-day when it really feels like you're all over the place.
Yeah. And what sort of things do you recommend? Because on that, you know, week-to-week or even day-to-day basis, how to, like, do you recommend tracking things, like keeping a full spreadsheet of your activities and things that you're supposed to do to tally up? Or how do you recommend they stay on track day to day?
Yeah, I think everybody's really different. I have had clients that take their 90-day plan and put it into a spreadsheet and track things that way. And that worked really well for them. I think it becomes really challenging. You know, say I have 5 or 6 major projects on my plan for the 90 days. I think it's pretty challenging to map out each of those 6 projects from beginning to end at the beginning of the quarter. I don't think that's very realistic. And so what I like to do instead is once a week, typically on Sunday nights, I'll look at all my projects, and not just my 90-day plan projects, but all like my client projects and everything I have going on. And I just decide what needs to happen this week to keep this thing on track. What are the top, you know, 1 or 2 things I need to do this week to keep moving forward. And if you just identify your actions a little bit at a time, I've found that they can build on each other a little better versus if you try to map out the entire project from start to finish at the very beginning. So one common one that really trips people up that I work with a lot is a lot of creative entrepreneurs. They know they need a CRM, a client relationship management system, but it's this big thing that hangs over their head forever and they never like actually do it. And so in that instance, you might say like set up your CRM was a quarterly project. In the first week of the quarterly plan, you might just say, you know what, I'm going to go sign up for a free trial. I'm not going to even do anything else, but my task for the week is I'm going to sign up for a free trial. Then maybe the next week you can set up an inquiry form. I'm going to set up an inquiry form that I can put on my website. It's going to go into my CRM and that's going to be my task for the week. And so I think that's a pretty good way to keep things moving forward without feeling like you have to know every single step at the very, very beginning.
And sometimes you don't know what you don't know. right?
Right.
So right. That's we had a conversation about this, Parshel, on the podcast not too many weeks ago, actually. And we were talking about like what motivates us. And some of us want to see that end goal so much more clearly in all the steps. And others of us are like, we just need to go moment by moment, step by step. So it is a really good point. It's so different for everybody. And everybody's brains work a little bit differently as well. But I think monitoring that progress, however that works for you, is really critical. Because if you've got 15 things on your to-do list and your 8 of them are floating with you every single day, it just feels like, I call this a hangover. It's just hanging over you. And
yes,
where if you have smaller tasks to take care of and you can knock those out, boy, does that feel so positive. And that momentum is really powerful and creates a lot of progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I do shy away from recommending specific tools or a specific planner or anything like that for productivity, because it is so, everybody's so different with how they think and what sort of aesthetic they like, or whether they like to write things down, or whether they like to have things digitally. And so I try to give people the general principles to apply to whatever tool that they use, but really the tool is less important than the stuff going into the tool and how you're using the tool.
Yep. Parshel and I talked about that last week. Like, we could do all this on pen and paper. The principles, yes, are what you need to know. The tool can come later. Pick one that you like.
Just so pick what looks pretty to you.
Yeah, perfect. Well, this was awesome, Katie. So we like to wrap up our conversations with a quick question of, what are you into right now? So I'm going to give you a moment to think about this. Parshel, I'm going to throw this over to you. What are you into right now?
Oh my gosh. I did happen to catch this show on Hulu called The 9 Perfect Strangers. Melissa McCarthy's in it, Regina Hall, and a bunch of other actors, but it's, you know, just one of those things that in your off time when you can sit down and have something to watch, that's something I'm into right now. So it's not anything techie, you know, for me, it is kind of a little bit different. But I just, this show is just really interesting. Like, 9 people all come to this resort center, and the woman who runs the resort center is like this, you know, spiritual leader who has a past of her own. It's just very interesting, like the dynamics that play out during this retreat and how each of them either get healed or get worse. And yeah, it's very, very interesting. Very. So anyway, I've been like into that, and I'm looking forward to the next episode when that comes out. So I'm like, when I say I'm into it, I'm waiting for the next episode.
I know, nowadays when shows are weekly, you're almost like, wait, I have to wait a week?
I know.
What is this? All right, Katie, what are you into right now? And this could be business, personal, anything.
So I am learning as an adult 37-year-old person for the first time how to play tennis. My husband plays tennis, and I'm taking a class for beginners and with mixed success. Not great, but we also have just been getting into it as a family. My daughters are learning too, and we watched a ton of US Open over the last 2 weeks. And so we've been watching a lot of tennis at our house. We really enjoyed the championships over the past weekend. And so that's a new thing for us, but we'll see how long the tennis hobby lasts for me, because I struggle with not very sporty myself.
But that's a great sport to play as a family. I love that.
Yeah. And pickleball is great too. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I've seen other people playing it at the tennis courts, and it looks fun.
It's a lot of fun. And most people who, you know, maybe are tired of tennis or whatever, they come over and check out pickleball, end up just loving that, because it's just a different type of sport, but it's also very family friendly for sure.
Yeah. Everybody that I see playing it is like 10, 12 year olds, something like that. And it looks really, really fun. I'll have to try it out.
I will. I'll go with the Trader Joe's and be. I'm really into pumpkin everything right now. We had the best weekend, and we had guests over, and just to entertain and be outside. Like, it's just not as hot as it is in the summer. It's just so lovely to enjoy fall. I just want to bottle fall up and keep it forever. So just being outside more, nature. You know, we took the dog for a long walk in Valley Forge Park yesterday. Like, it's just, I just love the fall. So that's what I'm into right now. Okay, Katie, so let's wrap it up with how can people get in touch with you? This was a great conversation. You dropped so much knowledge, so much value. What is the best way for people to get in touch with you? And maybe you can also remind people about where to get that free download.
Yeah, so you can get my 90-day plan template at katiewusso.com/plan. And when you sign up for that plan, you'll also be added to my email list. And that's, I communicate with people really regularly there. I am on Instagram at Katie Wusso. I'd love for you to shoot me a DM and introduce yourself. And I also have a podcast, a business podcast for creative entrepreneurs called The Game Changer. And so if you search The Game Changer, Katie Wusso, wherever you listen to podcasts, it should pop up.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Parshall, any last words or comments from you today?
No, thank you so much for being here, Katie. This was awesome. I definitely learned a lot. I took notes and I'm definitely excited to share this with the world, especially for other creatives like myself and Sarah, who just appreciate anything that just gets us back on track and back on focus. So this was excellent. Thank you.
Yep. Awesome. Glad to hear it.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And you can catch us wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review. We would love to hear your comments on the show. And then we will be back next week. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everybody.